Such a privilege to share tonight. I'm excited, and it's always nice, and I don't take for granted the opportunity that I have to share with you guys. And I know as I stand up here, there's some of you already saying, if this guy talk about family one more time, I'm going to throw a shoe at him. So don't worry, I won't say too much about it, but I will go back to it. Because I just can't any other way about just really... just looking at it on Wednesday again and just seeing, sitting at the, as a bystander, looking at this, how people are operating as a family when something happened to one member of this family. And I believe truly that if anything happened to anybody else, this family would do the exact same thing. Because the body says when one hurts, we all hurt. And that's why, but I said I'm not talking about family. So sorry, I'm not talking about family. Has anybody here ever went camping in a tent? Not a luxury five-star caravan, a tent. Can I see hands? Great stuff. Okay, here we go. The family gets excited. You tell them we're going for a long weekend in September. We're going camping. Everybody gets in the mode for this. Brett gets his shorts out. He starts tanning those white legs because he's ready for this. We are going camping. We are excited. You know, and the kids already, they're almost sleeping in their costumes the week before that, eh? They are ready for this thing. Mommy's looking at a figure in the mirror and go, I'm not getting in a costume. And daddy's looking at his beer boop and go, ek geen om nie, I'm swimming, you know? Because he's ready for this camp. Mommy is in the car, daddy's in the car, the venter trailer key is packed, you know? When I stayed in Durban, they called us Valies the Venterkies. Because in December, you just see all the Venter trailerkies coming through the toll gates. So I'm back in Venter country, so yes. And the trailer is packed and you're on your way camping. And everybody is excited. They are singing songs in the car. And mommy's got one of her You Family magazines, one of 50, ready for the weekend. And of course, on the way there, where do you stop? You stop at? Wimpy. Yes, you guys are legends. Eh? You guys are legends. You cannot go camping without a Wimpy. That's just, you have to do that. The days of frikadella and boiled eggs are gone. Thank goodness for that. Yes, because I tell you what, that first egg opening up in a car with closed windows, whew, it's nasty. There's a lot of people that can relate, I know. I remember driving to Durban. It's like, it wasn't like today, 5-6 hours. It was like the groot track to Durban. And the meatballs and the, oh, it was scary. And by Harry Smith, it's blue eggs. It's not even a white egg anymore. So, yeah, it wasn't good. But, okay, back to camping. We are ready. We're getting camping. We stopped at Wimpy. You get at this place and you stop there and you go to reception. And as you get to reception, the first thing they go is, goeiedag, meneer. I'm always amazed because apparently English people don't camp. They just pick Afrikaans at every camp resort I ever go to. Goeiedag, meneer. Ik sê, ja, goeiedag. Is this meneer Strydom? Ek is hier so. And they say, oh, yo, here's your stand plek. Yes, and you walk out there. Lekker, because you've got the best stand and you are ready for this weekend. You are so amped for this weekend. You are just, man, I tell you what. They call it a breakaway. They call it a mini holiday. But actually what it is a marriage stretching session. You see, because before the tent, she's your Leafy, your Turtle Davey, your Scarpy, your Bokkie. But as soon as you take that tent out, she turns into full vulture mode like you can't believe it. Because now all of a sudden the two of you are going to put up this tent. Yes, like it, that is marriage enrichment at its best. There's no course that can put you through that hour of putting up a tent. If you're lucky, it turns into 3 hours. Because the thing is set out and you just want to throw anchors. And she says, no, the Leafy, the door must be there. And you go, no, I'm the man, it must be under the tree. No, the door must face the toilet. And, like, and you haven't even started with the poles. That's still coming. I love camping. Camping is amazing. Like I say, they call it A long weekend, I call it marriage enrichment. And halfway through that night, one of you are 5 foot in the air, the other one's flat on the floor. You know those stupid blow-up mattresses. I've got a slight disadvantage with my weight, so I'm always on the floor. 2 o'clock in the morning. Yes, I love the camps. You just hear, our people are blowing up the mattresses. Yes. Like I said, I love camping. It's amazing. Imagine waking up, opening your tent, going out. I can't carry on with the actions I usually do because it's not appropriate for a stage. But you walk out your tent and you stretch, and that's where it stops. And there's 2.5 million people around you. You're like, ooh. I'm talking about the Israelites coming out of Egypt, camping in the wilderness. The word says in Exodus 12:37, the people of Israel journeyed from Shemesh to Sukkoth, about 600,000 men on foot, beside women and children. Scholars would say to you that with women and children and older men, you're looking at 2.5 million people that was camping. This is one big Otiek of your word. This is a hectic camp. Friends, and I just want to have a look at the Israelites camping up in the wilderness. They are journeying to a point where God is leading them into something. And I was so blessed and so challenged when I listened to Kurt preaching on Thursday at the privilege to be here and on this morning. And I also completely preparing myself at something completely different. God just started saying, but you know what? Where New Day is at, there's something I want to share tonight. And friends, just where we're at and the space we're in, I just want to have a look at one or two things together as a family tonight. So if you want to, you can turn to Numbers 13. I'm going to read a couple of verses out of there. And there's basically two things I want to take out of it tonight. So from verse 13, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 2, send men to spy out to the land of Canaan. If you underline in your Bible, if you color in, I would like for you to color this in, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of the fathers, you shall send men, everyone chief among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the people of Israel. From verse 13 to about 16, 17, Moses is now picking 12 men, and we read the encounter of the 12 spies, 007s, going into this land that God is saying, Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. I am blown away by the start of this, where God is speaking to Moses. Friends, I want to tell you today, in our time where you and I are at, God is still speaking to us. We need to open up. We need to listen. We need to quiet down many times. But I want to tell you this, God is still speaking to me and you. In our busy time, in Joburg, where you and I at, God is still speaking to you. And he is saying to Moses, this is the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. He did not say to him, well, let's think about it. I'm pretty sure this is the place. I looked at my GPS and I think this is where we're at. He didn't say, you know what? Let's just go there and maybe see if it will work out. God was firm and authoritative and he said, Moses, this is the land that I'm giving you. This is the place that I'm giving you. You see, it was never Moses' intent to send people out to go and spy. The mission of the spies was first suggested by the Israelites themselves. If you look at Deuteronomy 1 verse 22, it says, then all of you came near me and said, let us send men before us, that they may explore the land for us and bring us word again of the way by which we must go and the cities into which we shall come. I find it mind-boggling, and I struggle with it when I read this and I looked at this and I see Moses did not set out for this whole thing to happen. It was the people of Israel that came to him and said, you know what, let's just send people there to go have a look if this is really the place. Is this not the same group of people that God saved out of Egypt? Is this not the same group of people that got led in the day with a cloud covering them, protecting them? Is this not the same guys that at nighttime there's a cloud of fire moving, keeping them warm and saving them? This is the same people that are starting to doubt and say, yes, I'm not sure this is the right place. Let's from our side just make 100% sure. God, we hear you saying this, but I just want to go and make sure. I find it mind-boggling looking at this. But friends, let's be realistic. I know I've done things and I felt great about it. And I've seen God's provision. I've seen how God used me. I've seen how God is helping me, looking after me. And then there comes one day, he says, DJ, I want you to do this. And you go, yes, I can't do that. I'm not too sure about this. Friends, as much as well, I want to point fingers at these Israelites and go, yes, like it, you guys are just dwarf. I've got to point it to myself and say, you know what? I'm in that same boat. I'm in that same situation. I start to doubt, start to think, I'm not so sure about this. You want me to stand up and talk to the people? No. I can't do that. You actually want me to talk to my work colleague and tell them about, no, I can't do that. You want me to actually stop at the petrol garage and give this money to this guy just for giving it to him? I'm not so sure about that. Friends, this is the same God that 2 days ago helped you through your difficult time, that is speaking to you and saying, this is what I want you to do. That same authority that he was speaking to Moses, saying, this is the land. He is speaking to me and you today. We just need to open our ears. We just need to submit and say, Lord, speak to me. I want to hear. I want to obey. I want to do. Moses said to the 12 spies, says, go then and do a couple of things. Go and see what the land is, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, whether the land is good or bad, whether the cities are camps or strongholds, and if this land is rich or poor, and if there are trees or not. But verse 20, Moses said to them this, but be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. That was just like, on your way back, just bring me McDonald's. That's basically what it says. Be of good courage. Moses sent these spies out and he says to them, be of good courage. The mission you're going on, it is going to be a tough mission. Be of good courage. But I feel that's not just where it ended for them to say, go and be of good courage. It's come back and bring a message of courage to the people. Come back and bring a message of hope to the people. Come back and bring a message of faith to the people. You see, the people doubted, but Moses heard God. How many times do we doubt God? Friends, we need to get to that place where we hear God. And it will just have that authority and that substance in your life as you carry on. Moses didn't doubt because he heard God. Numbers 13 from verse 21. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness. They went up into Negev and came to Hebron. And it's talking about how these guys are having a look at the whole area and having a look at the different countries and exactly what Moses told them. Go see how big the cities are. See how protected these cities are. Have a look at the men. Are they plenty? Are they few? How many are there? From verse 13 to 25, at the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. A couple of verses before that, it says that they were carrying, wat noem jy, a tros driver? A bunch of grape. Oh, that was easy. Sorry. Higher grade English. And it actually said that they had two guys had to carry that. They had to use a stick. And that's how big the grapes are. If I even go to Woolworths, they're like this big. And I'm talking Woolworths grapes, not even Pick and Pay. This is Woolies grapes. Woolies grapes. And these guys had to, together had to carry the grapes. That's what it was. It wasn't like the things you and I are looking at. This is what they saw. Verse 28, however, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And beside, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. The rest of them, the other men who had gone up, said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are great height. And there we saw Nephilim, the son of Anak, who came from Nephilim and seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers. And so we seemed to them. Friends, there's two reports. The report of the 10 and the report of the 2. There's two reports. The first report, these guys came and they said, the land that you send us is flowing with milk and honey. This is the fruit. But that but almost cancels out everything that they're saying that is good. They are saying, but these guys are massive. They are giants. We look like little grasshoppers in their sight. The cities are fortified. They are like, you can't get in there. The people are too many. It is just too great. It's impossible. You see, they had a couple of things counting against them. Number one, they had an inferior complex. We can't do this. It's impossible. Fear crept into their hearts. They looked at the circumstances. They looked at through their natural eye, and fear gripped their hearts. Again, I say, Moses heard God. He listened to God. These guys looked with their fleshly eyes at the situation, and fear started creeping into their lives. They had a negative spirit, number three. Number four, there was unbelief. Number five, they started rebelling against God. Then there's report number two from Numbers 14, verse 1. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept at night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness? Why is it, Lord, bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives, our little ones will become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And yeah, from verse 6. And Joshua and Caleb, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. The protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Immediately, in the way that they are speaking, you can hear something completely different. They are not looking negatively at this. They are not looking through their situation at this. They are looking completely different. They are saying, the land is exceedingly good. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us. Do not fear the people of this land. They are bread for us. They are looking at these giants and say, you know what? It's nothing. This is not a problem for us. This is not a problem for us. We can do this. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. They had confidence. They had courage. A positive spirit. They had faith. And they had obedience. Friends, two reports, completely different. 12 men went out there to have a look at the situation. They came back, and out of that, there's two completely different views. The one of 10 says there's fear, negative, unbelief, rebellion. The two of them says courage, hope, faith, and obedience. I'm going back to verse 2. Sent me to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. The only two that walked into this promise was Caleb and Joshua. The only two that walked into this promise was Caleb and Joshua. Friends, I read this and I looked at all of this to get to this point tonight. You are sitting here and there are words spoken over your life. You had people that prophesied over your life. You had people that spoke so many words over you. You had so many encounters with God. There was things that shifted in your heart. But there's two reports. There's one of fear and there's one of courage. There's some of you that are sitting here that God is saying that you need to move from your job into another job and He will provide for you, but we are holding on to fear. There's some of you that God is saying, I need you to start a brand new business. There's things I need you to go out and do afresh for me. But there's two reports that we are holding in front of us. The report of the 10 and the report of the 2. There's some of you that God is saying, start that family. No, but I'm waiting for the finances. I'm waiting for this. No. God says, hold on to what I'm saying to you. You're holding on for a spouse. And all of other people are giving you these reports. Everybody is saying these things to you. What has God said to you? What has God said to you? And friends, I want to bring it to our family. And I was, like I said, I was so blessed listening to when Kurt preached this morning and just saying that and believing. And I'm standing with him. It's a word from God that we are going through this valley of the shadow of death, friends, but we are standing at the point where we are going to green pastures. New day, I believe we are standing at the doorstep of the promises that God has got for us. A couple of weeks ago, we had Gert-Jan preaching here, and he said he believes and he prophesied. He says he sees in 12 to 18 months, this family is going to grow to 3,000 people. I believe with my whole heart that this family is standing at the doorstep of the promise that God has got for us. Going back to that scripture, the land which I am giving to you. New day, the land that God is going to give to us. I believe with my whole heart we are standing at this doorstep. The band is here, they can come up for me, please. We are standing at this doorstep, but you and I have two reports that we can look at tonight, and we can say, yes, you know what? 2,000-3,000 people, that's a lot of people. How are we going to cope with that? You know, because all of a sudden we start getting negative. Or we're going to go Joshua and Caleb and says, you know what? If God says we can do this, we'll do this. If God is giving this to us, we're taking it with both hands and we're saying, Lord, we will do this because you are giving this to us. And again, I'm pulling it back to yourself. You're saying, yes, I'm not too sure about this. I don't know. You friends, the time for us to be negative, the time for us to start fearing things, you are standing at the doorstep of the promises that God has got for you. And as I really looked at something completely different, I just felt God says there's a lot of us that's got these two reports that you have in front of you, and you're struggling with that. Friends, but I want to encourage you. You are standing at the doorstep of the promises that God has got for you. And God is not saying to you, well, maybe I've got that for you. Maybe I've got this in store for you. God says, this is the land that I am giving to you. God is not doubting himself. New Day, the promises that God has got for us as a family, God is not doubting himself. The sad truth of this is, when they did not do what they said, the 10 spies were killed immediately, and the rest of them died in the wilderness, and the following generation had to walk into that promise. I don't know about you, but I don't want my kids to walk into my promise. I want them to walk in their promise. I want them to walk into what God has got for them, not what I was supposed to do. I want to walk and do what God says I need to do. New Day, I don't want this family to miss out on the opportunities that God has got for us. Let's take hold of the report that says we can do this. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. He has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love. Friends, we need to just stand tonight and say, I'm looking at these two reports, but I want to come back to this one that says I can do it. Because God has said this is the land that I'm giving to you.